Welcome to Mondays with the Mayor, hosted by Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Rogers.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to today's Mondays with the Mayor. My name is Chris Rogers. I'm the mayor of the city of Santa Rosa. And with me, as always, is Michelle Marquez. Michelle,
hey,
welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Congratulations getting your casts off.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be a little bit further on my path to recovery and getting, you know, in shape. I joked this morning that it cost me an arm and a leg to get my new vehicle. Everything moving in the right direction.
Well, now that you have the cast off mm-hmm. and you can actually grip,
right.
I know you're going to go out and you're going to play some golf. And so I figured today was a good chance for us to have a conversation about the future of the Bennett Valley Golf Course.
I love it.
It has obviously been a huge topic throughout our community. We'll definitely bring listeners up to speed. And joining us today on our show is Bob Borowitz, the current operator for the Bennett Valley Golf Course. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, thanks, Chris, for having me on. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Now, Bob, let's go ahead and bring everybody up to speed really fast. So a couple of months ago, the city of Santa Rosa did a study session that looked at what the future of the Bennett Valley Golf Course could look like. And it was a confluence of both your retirement, Bob, as well as the canceling of the Legends contract that happened a number of months back due to COVID. And since then, we have seen just an absolute flurry of public input. Bob, you're seeing folks come to the golf course in bigger numbers, I'm sure, and folks getting signs, right?
Yeah, we have. You know, I'm not sure what you're referencing in terms of bigger numbers, but just some specifics for the last half of 2020. You know, once we reopened, we had 38,570 rounds. You know, for 6 months, and projected going into, including January and February this year, if we just have even pre-COVID numbers. For the remaining, you know, 3 or 4 months of this fiscal year, we're on pace to do, you know, 72,000-73,000 rounds, which we haven't seen in, you know, 7, 8, 9 years at Bennett Valley. So, I know the golf will, I'm thinking everybody does, it'll slow down a little bit, but I haven't seen any of it yet. I haven't seen any signs slowing down. The only thing that slows it down is just the weather at Bennett Valley. So, business has been great. You know, it's been one of the few things that, positive from COVID is those of us being lucky enough to be in the golf business.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, Bob, because that I think is one of the drivers of this overall conversation throughout our community was we had seen sort of year over year a decline in golf. And I have down that in 2019, you had a little over 40,000 rounds played. But yet, since the pandemic, you've seen this huge resurgence, and it doesn't seem that anybody actually knows if we're going to return to those normal numbers or whether or not the people who have started playing golf this year are going to continue to play golf in perpetuity. That's 70. Did you say 72,000?
Well, that's the fiscal, the calendar year last year, we had just over 60,000. So, and that's being closed 7 weeks of the lockdown, you know, from March 18th through, I think it was May 5th is when we were shut down. We had over 60,000 rounds for that calendar year, which is, you were exactly right. We did just over 40,000 in the prior year, so we had a 50% increase. But looking on the fiscal year for this year, you know, which year we operate, or the city does, July 1 to the following, you know, June 30th, we're on pace to do, you know, well over 72,000 rounds. And that's being conservative for the next 3 or 4 months, but the numbers we have, I mean, it's very weather dependent. You know, in the prior 2 years were pretty crappy weather, to be honest with you, as far as the rains. We had the fires to deal with a couple of years. All that contributed to the decline. You know, golf nationally was going down a little bit, but our experience was more weather driven than anything else, with the fires included in the weather, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that 2019 was the lowest numbers on record, I think, for the course, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So let's talk a little bit about the economics of the course, because that's obviously one of the huge drivers for this conversation as well. I have down that the 3 year average in terms of revenue for the course was about $512,000, but the 3 year average was a little over for expenditures was a little over $1 million, and that's largely due to the debt financing for the two buildings that were put out there. Can you just talk a little bit for listeners about sort of where those figures come from, what the the debt servicing was for and how it came to be that that was put on the golf course.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, you know, you'd have access probably to the exact numbers, but in 2005, the city had decided to spend some of the money that was in the reserve fund that the golf course had generated. The golf course over the years, you know, since inception, as you're well aware of, is what's called an enterprise fund. You know, it doesn't contribute to or draw from the general fund. And so it basically stands on its own merits, and general fund is not technically supposed to take any funding from that. But back in 2004, 2005, the mayor at that time and council members had some sort of inkling that there was going to be interest from the general fund to take some money from the golf course, from the enterprise fund, to finance some different programs and whatnot. And at that time, there was a little over $4 million in the reserves that the golfers have generated, the golf course have generated. And that's in addition to having paid, I don't know the exact amount, but rebuilding 18 greens out there in the mid-90s to early 2000, which is, you know, that required an undertaking as far as expense. So the golf course was doing great in terms of generating fund and the funds and having obviously a very substantial reserve, but decided at that time in 2004, I'm guessing the five right in that area, that they wanted to redo the buildings, and part of that was they call it a clubhouse, but it wasn't really a clubhouse. It was more of a restaurant and an event center, which the folks at the city council decided they would like to have on the east side of town, where they could have some, not just the city, but the community could have weddings, services, banquets, that type of thing, in addition to sort of the golfers. And at that time, it was decided that I think a little over $2 million, and I'm not sure the correct term, was invested initially out of the reserves as seed money. And then there was a bond sold to make up the financing for the balance. The project, the city engineers projected the cost for the two buildings, the pro shop and the event center, we'll call it the restaurant event center, was just over $6 million. Low bid came in at 8.1, I believe it was. And then, as everybody knows, there are never decreases in the final cost. It escalated to just over $10 million final cost. And with the exception of 2 years, I believe it is, the golf course has paid the debt service, which amounts to close to $500,000 a year. I believe the general fund, I can't remember what years it was, maybe 2013, 2014, something like that, the general fund did step up and paid the debt service for those 2 years. But the golfers have done the bulk of that, amounting to probably $6 million plus, in addition to that, the initial $2 million. So the golfers have, or the golf course, we'll say, has contributed probably $8 million to this point to the construction of new buildings.
Yeah, and I was looking back at the past budgets just in preparation for that study session item a couple of months ago, as well as our conversation today, that it looks like there's still about $3.3 million still left on the bond debt to be paid off. And it looks like it's costing about almost $400,000 a year that's being attributed also to the golf course and to that enterprise fund that you were talking about.
Yes, I'm just going up numbers that are given to me. I don't have access to the same numbers that you would, but from what I've been told, you know, the debt service between the bonds and I believe there's some money owed to the parks department. I'm not sure how it works. It was right around $480,000, and for years that was very, very close to the amount of money that the city received in terms of operating income from both myself or my operations and the restaurant. Was right around $500,000, and that money was basically used for the debt service, with none being accounted or assigned or dedicated to the golf course needs in terms of, you know, possibly deferred maintenance, you know, irrigation system, drainage, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to Mondays with the Mayor, brought to you today by Pedego. And we'll be back with Bob Borowitz after these commercials.
Are you looking for fun things to do outside? Sonoma County has many miles of bike paths from city to country to coast. Well, here's a new way to enjoy them.
Try the most comfortable and user-friendly electric bikes on earth. Pedego Electric Bikes. They deliver fun, exercise, and a green alternative for transportation.
Their high-quality, innovative pedal or knot models include cruisers, tandems, commuters, mountain bikes, and a convenient folding bike.
The twist-and-go throttle gives riders instant manual control over their speeds while the pedal assist automatically adds power to their pedaling.
This is Colin here from Pedego Electric Bikes, offering you a free 1-hour test ride so you can experience the fun of an e-bike yourself. We have 19 on and off-road models in stock today. Call, ask for me, Colin.
Offering rentals, tours, sales, and service of Pedego Electric Bikes. Tell your smartphone to go to Pedego Santa Rosa. Plan your next adventure. Where will you go? Pedego.
Riding around.
Hi, Austin here from More Home Services with another Good Deed for Free. Recently, our technician Ryan was hard at work on an AC condenser located in a client's side yard. As he worked, he noticed that the area surrounding the condenser had become a jungle of weeds. Ryan said that the house and yard were beautiful, but for some reason, the side yard had been neglected. So Ryan decided to take matters into his own hands by doing the weeding and cleaning up himself. When he told the homeowner what he'd done, she was amazed and grateful, almost to the point of tears. She explained that normally she had a landscaper come, but he had been unavailable for some time. She did the best she could with the front yard, but just wasn't physically able to do everything herself. Ryan, thanks for lending a helping hand and making your client's day. Keep those good deeds for free coming. My name is Austin, and our company is More Home Services. Call us at 707-505-8000 or online at morehomeservices.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel teaches you conversations that you will actually use. With 14 languages and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll learn what matters most to you. Babbel. Language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com.
Welcome back to Mondays with the Mayor with Chris Rogers on KSRO. And now, here's Chris.
And we're back, and we're still talking about the Bennett Valley Golf Course with Bob Borowitz. Michelle, just to bring up a little bit of context where we sit today. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, I appointed an ad hoc council members, John Sawyer, Jack Tibbetts, and Eddie Alvarez, to really discuss the future of the Bennett Valley Golf Course. They have come back and they have recommended not moving forward with any type of real estate development at that site. Okay. But they did create four principles that they wanted to look at. Because as we're talking about some of the finance issues that you're hearing from Bob, we still have to talk about what to do with the site in the future and how to make it more sustainable. So their four principles were: the enterprise fund has to pay for itself. And that's something that we just heard a little bit from Bob about. Mm-hmm. We want to evaluate the refinancing and prepayment options for the debt, which we also just heard a little bit about. They want to incorporate all of the deferred and long-term maintenance into the discussion and budgeting, and then look for a single operator for the golf course and the restaurant.
For both together. Okay.
So, Bob, if we could pick up where we left off a little bit, if we could talk a little bit about the deferred maintenance that you see as the operator at the site.
Okay. Basically, it all has to do with water, both getting it on the golf course and then draining it off during the winter months. We're notoriously one of the least playable winter golf courses under normal winter. This winter, it has not been an issue. But our typical winters, I mean, it's you're not seeing much out there from, we'll say, you know, mid-late November all the way through February type deal. You know, at best, it's maybe a 7-month golf course. This year it's been great. The weather hasn't been an issue. That in terms of the drainage. The irrigation system is the original, which was put in place in 1970, and it's functional, but in terms of we're just patching it, you know, to go along, that sort of thing. But the biggest issue is getting a new irrigation system where it's more functional. It can be water conservation. You know, we're lucky we're on wells right now. We don't draw any city water or anything like that. But with the new restrictions coming in place, even the well users need to be more aware of, you know, using the water in an efficient manner, that sort of thing. Concept would be to, my thinking, our thinking at the golf course is that would be done all at one time, both the new irrigation system and the drainage work. The exact cost is going to be hard to say what it's going to amount to, but irrigation alone is going to be well in excess of $2 million, and that's maybe a little conservative, and then the drainage work would be in addition to that to make it a really competitive golf course and one that, you know, where you can generate decent revenue year round, not just the, you know, 6 or 7 month season.
Yeah, and talk about that a little bit more. So I know staff in the initial staff report suggested that it was probably about $2 million worth of deferred maintenance between the irrigation and the drainage. It sounded like that might actually be a little bit higher from your perspective.
I think so. If you're going to do it right, which you really, I believe you should. If there's, you know, you always try to look at things, which I learned from my prior boss and partner, John Flackman, is treat it like your own. You know, and if this were my golf course, I would definitely, you know, invest. It's going to be way more than $2 million. I mean, I would venture it could be double that by the time you get everything done correctly. You know, you could probably do it less. You know, maybe you get a private company and that sort of thing. And that was my initial thought, is that the city, upon my retirement, was going to be like they do at most other facilities, at least that are municipally owned. They put it out to bid, you know, for an operator to come in and see what you get first off before making any decisions as far as what you want to do with the property.
And I'd like to see, I think a lot of people would, a destination site where Legends currently is, something that doesn't just cater to golfers who are finishing up their rounds, but really is a reason for people to come to the golf course. And I know you've in the past have expressed that you didn't think that the facility really brought additional people there. Do you think that doing a single operator between the golf course and the restaurant is feasible? Or do you think the city should be looking at two separate contracts?
I think if you get the right group, you know, it's probably going to be a bigger group, obviously, that has the expertise in running both the food and beverage and the golf operations. That's probably going to be the best route for the city. And it just depends on who you get, to be honest with you. I just can't say that generally it's going to work out best. But I thought it was good to have independent, you know, the golf and then the food and beverage, just one keep an eye on the other, that sort of thing. But in terms of efficiency and whatnot, you might be better off with one operator overseeing both, provided that the operator has experience in the restaurant end of it. And that's the hard part, is, you know, they're out there from, you know, daylight hours basically, and it's really tough to get a restaurant that's going to, you can't keep everybody happy. You know, it's either the golfers or the people come in, you know, for lunch, and they don't want to be there with a bunch of rowdy golfers, that sort of thing, and vice versa. And the initial design wasn't the intent. You know, the initial design, for those that have been out there, there's a small bar area, you know, typical of a golf course with a few tables, and then there's a seating area for eating right next to that, and then there's a couple big banquet rooms, and it's pretty industrial type. It's not, I don't know how to word it properly, but to me, as far as making it a restaurant, there needs to be a significant amount of work if you're going to try to get that aspect of it also. And I don't know the answers to that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think I've been there for city-sponsored events, and I think I've been there for a couple of weddings. How about you, Michelle?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been there once for Amaturo Sonoma Media Group holiday party. I think we had once there. So I kind of agree with you that the ambiance could use a little bit in those rooms.
Yeah, we see that too with Charlie's up in Windsor and mm-hmm, some other areas where it could be a destination. It could bring more people there. So I think that's something that we're really focused on looking at as well. So, Bob, we've got a couple more minutes here. Just as somebody who has been around the golf course for decades at this point, right, what would you like to see as the future there?
I'd like to see the work being done that needs to be done as far as the drainage and irrigation, and make it a golf course that you could, you know, command, and they're not going to gouge people, but make, command a little bit higher greens fees. that type of thing. Right now, currently, we're getting tons of people from out of the area, Bay Area, come up because they can't find places to play. So the company visit Bennett Valley and they love it. You know, people from the city, could be the South Bay, East Bay, Napa, Vallejo, whatever. On the weekends, I mean, they're making up a big part of our customer base. During the week, it's primarily our senior group, you know, to come out there. But I just like to see the golf or the city go through the traditional process of putting it out to bid, put out an RFP, see what you get, and you can put it under your own conditions. And if you don't get what you're looking for, or leave it open-ended, however that works, then go from there. But I can't see the golf course being repurposing for anything other than what it is now, which is an 18-hole regulation golf course, a driving range, and a restaurant and a pro shop, that type of thing. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't say for sure if the golf will continue. It's not going to maintain the status quo as far as the surge of new players, but I don't see it dropping off that much either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I'd be really interested to have kind of a longer conversation with you, too, about lessons learned this year through the pandemic, about marketing and attracting more people to the course, because I think that is really a key. One of the other interesting aspects of our course, before we let you go, is that the greens fees and the rates are really set by city council policy and by ordinance. And just wondering if it'd be easier if there was more flexibility for the operator to be able to set those fees or to do promotional deals. Do you think that could help in bringing people back?
The green fees don't need to be reduced at all. I mean, matter of fact, you know, we have two or three, or in the past year, we've always had, we currently have two or three, but we had three or four different third-party tea vendors, people, you know, discount places that they'd sell at a discount, and then we'd split the proceeds and so on. But about two or three months into when we reopened, I discontinued those programs because we didn't need it. I mean, it's like the old days where not quite where you're turning more people away than you're helping, but business has just been unbelievable. You know, the tea sheets are like they used to be, where they fill out, you know, 4 or 5 days out instead of it was becoming the last minute type thing. People want to golf, you know, so. And then when the new golfers come in, I mean, they love playing a golf course. It's not lined by houses, you know, and it's at the country setting type thing. And they just can't believe that they've never played here before. And I think that's the best marketing advertising is the word of mouth and, you know, taking care of the people that show up and they're going to spread the word and going from there.
Yeah, I love playing the back nine with the perfectly straight couple of holes in a row. If only I could hit the ball straight, but at least it's easy to find when I hit it to the wrong fairway.
Yep. I find it hard to believe you hit the wrong fairway. Come on.
I find the trees pretty frequently. For an environmentalist, I do a lot of damage, Bob.
There you go.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a conversation with us today. You know, next steps for the city council is with this recommendation coming back from our ad hoc. We still have to bring it forward just to talk with the whole council about what to do next in terms of the bond debt, Chris, the servicing. Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and I do believe, and I'm sure you probably already have heard from a couple of different companies that are very interested, and I've met with one personally. They came out wanting to get a tour of the facility, and they just find it hard to believe that there would be any consideration for that being any other than a golf course. You know, they're used to coming into public golf courses that are in disarray and they're just, you know, piles of dirt basically and financially strapped. And, the city, I really just, if you give it a chance and put your feelers out, put out an RFP, there's going to be a number of suitors that are very interested. Whether or not they come in with what you're looking for as the answers, I can't say for sure, but there'll be definitely a number of groups interested in taking over the golf course.
Yeah, and I will say, Bob, I did a neighborhood Zoom meeting. And one of the things that I was most impressed by was folks who actually were on the call who had operated or owned golf courses that really knew the ins and outs of the business. And I know that we were able to put many of them in contact with staff to see next steps. And I, too, have received a lot of those same phone calls. So I think that there is a lot of interest. And I'm really curious to see sort of how we move forward from here to make this a win-win for our community.
Yep, exactly. Sounds good.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate it. And thank you to folks for listening in. This has been Mondays with the Mayor. I'm Chris Rogers, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. So much fun. And big thanks to Pedego for sponsoring our show today. And you can find out more about them and listen to past shows by heading to KSRO.com and click on Mondays with the Mayor. Thanks so much, Chris. We'll see you next time.
All right. Take care, Michelle.
This is KSRO.
You've been listening to Mondays with the Mayor, hosted by Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Rogers. Check back every other Monday at 12:30 p.m. for another deep dive into political policy.